ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States and Mrs. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and Mrs. Reagan.
Please join hands with the person closest to you around the table, at your table, who they all have. Father, we come to you, not as people with titles from nations and cities and states, but as your children this morning, and we just thank you for being our Father. Lord, we really are grateful just for life today, and we're thankful, Father, as we're gathered here, many nations, diverse backgrounds, cultures, that you do not see us as separate people, but as one family of God. Father, we just ask you to help us to see that today, and that as we move through the day and we hear your word, Father, that we would just listen. And once we listen, Father, that we would believe and then we would act on what we hear. So, Lord, we just have a burden this morning for separations between us that you do not see, but we see. Lord, we just claim your belief in our oneness in you. We are not today gathered as haves and have-nots. Lord, we're gathered as your people. Remove the hostility, Father, between those of us who are affluent and those of us who are not. Help us, Father, to be free from our agendas, our schedules, our ministries, our clubs, our institutions, Father, and just read and hear and believe and trust in your word. We claim that for this morning. We claim that for this day. We claim that for just this nation and this world. And Lord, we ask a special blessing this morning for the President and Mrs. Reagan. You have put them where they are. You've invested in them the authority of the first family in this nation. We pray right now, no matter where backgrounds, affiliations, republicanism, democratness, we just release ourselves from that right now and we claim them as our family. And we pray, Father, that you would lift them up and that we would each day pray for them. Lord, when it's all over and it's said and done, each one of us will stand before you, not with a scorecard, a balance sheet, not with accomplishments, titles, labels, none of it. You will wonder, Lord, whether we have loved you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, our souls, and our strength, and you will wonder, and you will ask us if we've loved every neighbor as ourselves. Deliver us, Father, from the bangs and all of the separations. And thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to come together, Lord, not to hear speeches, but just to hear from God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We praise your name, and we just lift up the name of Jesus Christ today, Lord, as one nation under God. In the name of Christ, we pray.
President, Mrs. Reagan, Mr. Vice President, Mrs. Bush, the Lord is good. He made us. We, his people, the sheep of his pasture.
and went over and began the program. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, guests at the head table, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Tourisman, Bob Harris from Indiana, is very distinct honor and pleasure as chairman of the Harris Car Breakfast Group to welcome each of you to this 29th National Car Breakfast. I want to speak for the entire Harris and Senate Car Breakfast Committee when I say we are genuinely pleased to have you with us today to share in the special fellowship that's found in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We're especially delighted to have with us Dr. Billy Graham, who is the rural president of Rhode Island here on Sunday Bank Terrace and arranged the very first National Car Breakfast in 1953. We're sure, as you see, as he stood here and told us in his statement of purpose about that, that the young clergyman involved was Dr. Graham. As Dr. Graham said, Senator Carson also had planned to be with us this morning, but due to illness, he has been unable to join us, and it's my understanding that he's in a hospital in Kansas. And I ask and know that each of you will join with me in remembering him in our individual thoughts and prayers this morning. Also, let me take a moment to say what a welcome to all those people who are living and serving abroad. People in our service, people on ships at sea, and all of the people all over the world who will be joining in our fellowship through a tape rebroadcasting of this program over the Armed Forces Radio Network. Of course, to each and every side, we're sorry you cannot be with us in person, but we acknowledge your presence in spirit, and we're grateful for your participation. These rebroadcasts, along with many breakfasts which are taking place all over the country in conjunction with this one, have expanded the National Prayer Breakfast to a point where it now involves more people than ever before. And where this is a National Prayer Breakfast, it's heartening to note that the numbers have also continued to grow among our international guests. We have with us today representatives from over 100 nations, and we certainly are very delighted to extend a very special welcome to each of them. Your participation broadens the scope of our fellowship and greatly enriches our endeavor. Ladies and gentlemen, we meet here this morning, as in years past, to reaffirm our country's spiritual foundation. We acknowledge that the Lord has richly blessed us as a people, but we are aware also that he has said, of those to whom much is given, much is required. We meet this morning in the recognition of this obligation, humbly seeking the wisdom and the strength necessary to fulfill it. Like so many other times when the prayer breakfast has met, we come together at a time when the world faces increasingly hard choices and many difficult challenges. But we're not here today to debate those problems or even outline them. Rather, we are here today because we recognize that our shared faith and our personal relationship with Christ can truly make a difference in the world. It is in this spirit that the Harris and Senate Prayer Breakfast groups meet each week in Congress's in session, and it is in this same spirit that we welcome each of you here with us today. And if I may be permitted a personal aside, let me say as an individual member of Congress how meaningful these small, informal weekly meetings really are. For me, and for every one of my colleagues who participates regularly, these breakfasts represent an opportunity for each one of us, coming as we do from diverse backgrounds, differing parts of the country, and representing many political viewpoints, to draw spiritual strength from one another. It's a unique and a rewarding experience, one which we enjoy each week and which we gladly share with you this morning. Again, welcome. Thank you very much for coming. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to be with you today as mayor of a city with a long tradition of cultural and religious diversity, a city where, as Cardinal Cook has said on so many occasions, where mass is said every morning in 23 different languages, a city which has been home to countless millions seeking religious freedom. I both understand and appreciate the importance of this morning's breakfast. And today I would like to read to you Psalm 8, a psalm of David. This psalm speaks of God's glory.
Reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But whether our prophecies they will cease, whether our tongues they will be stilled, whether our knowledge it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For you tell us in your word to pray for the King and all who are in authority, so that we might live a good and peaceful life. And your servants tell us, for let the nations be glad, and to sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Father, you are the creator of government, and it's used for your purposes and to fulfill your plan. So Lord, we come today in thanksgiving with joyful hearts. We thank you for all of the blessings that you have given to us individually and that you've given to our land and our nation. And we hold up to you today our president, Mrs. Reagan, and their family. We hold up the vice president, all of the members of his cabinet and executive branch, and Father, we just ask you to pour out a blessing upon them, to give them wisdom and knowledge and judgment, joy, peace, and strength. Father, we see you using them as your instruments. We know that they are creatures of your government, and we just see them being used for your purposes to work healing upon the land and to bring peace upon the world. And further, we now hold up a prayer for national leaders everywhere. We ask you to bring into their hearts your instrument of peace. And further, we hold up officials everywhere, because we know that you tell us that one of the spiritual gifts is the gift of leadership. And that we who have that gift of leadership are to lead with diligence. So, Father, we ask that you, being the author of that spiritual
Even the great war, no one would
himself physically when he sent his son Jesus Christ to live on this earth. And the word that we know in that spiritual relationship between people comes in the word love. Love, one that we have difficult time explaining ourselves because we don't use three words as the Greeks did. Eros, the relationship of the person of one sex to another. those of us who make for us our
created the earth before God. They didn't ask God to save them because they were his chosen people, or because King Hezekiah was such a wonderful person, or any of that. This is what King Hezekiah said when he had finished. He said, "I know, O Lord, my God, I beseech you to save us. But all the kingdoms of the world might know that thou, O Lord, art God alone."
Say that this morning we are freed from the last vestige of homesickness.
I would like to tell just a little story. It was given to me by a friend on a printed card, author unknown. Now, I don't know how widely this has been distributed, or whether some of you, or many of you, are aware of it, and I'm going to tell it anyway. This unknown author wrote of a dream. And in the dream, was walking down the beach beside the Lord. And as they walked, a building in the sky was reflected each stage and experience of his life. And reaching the end of the beach, and of his life, he turned back. Down the beach and saw the two sets of footprints in the sand. Except that he looked again and realized that every once in a while there was only one set of footprints. And each time there was only one set of footprints, it was when the experience reflected in the sky was one of despair, of desolation, of great trial, of grief in his life. And he turned to the Lord and said, "You said that if I would walk with you, you would always be beside me and take my hand. Why did you desert me? Why are you not there in my times of greatest need?" And the Lord said, "My child, I did not leave you. Where you see only one set of footprints, it was there that I carried you.
person on this footstool earth, if I believed for one moment that I could perform the duties assigned to me without the help of one who is wiser than all, I know that in the days to come and the years ahead, there are going to be many times when there will only be one set of footprints in my life. If I did not believe that, I could not face the days ahead.
Would you join me in singing the chorus, Hallelujah, and the second time we'll sing, I will praise Him, and the third time we'll sing, Hallelujah, again, a cappella.
much. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the 29th Annual Prayer Breakfast, and we ask the audience please remain in place until the President and Mrs. Reagan arrive.